Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fashion, you know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You look at me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
You know, wanted me. He wanted to keep him because he was friends with Luke. And Luke's a great guy, great guy.
He is.
And so when I looked up and said, wait a minute, I only really answer to Jeannie Buss. Now I got Tim involved. And I said, it's time for me to go. I got things happening that was being said behind my back. I don't have the power that I thought I had to make the decisions. And I told them
when it's not fun for me,
when I think that I don't have the decision-making power that I thought I had, then I got to step aside.
We're live here on the Tony Sands Show. Another week of the Tony Sands Show. My main man joining me right out the gate. Right out the gate is my main man, Mo Love. Listen, guys, if you want to listen to the Tony Sands Show and you want to hear the interviews that we're going to be on today, because we got another Hall of Famer, another week of the Tony Sands Show with another Hall of Famer. My main man, Fort Lauderdale basketball legend, Mitch Richmond, will be joining the show today. He's going to give us those insights. But, hey, without further ado, what's up, my main man, Mo Love? What's going on with you?
What's going on, Tony? How you doing today?
Man, I'm chilling. Listen, man, we got it. With everything that's going on surrounding the NBA, I mean everything from the Lakers to Golden State, KD, Kyrie Irving, everybody is breaking news when it comes to the NBA. Even tonight, can the Warriors close it out against the Trailblazers tonight? It's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely going to be interesting tonight.
What's your take before we bring Hall of Famer Mitch Richmond on, Marius, who is a Hall of Famer, another week right. of a Hall of Famer. It's not often that a show like this can bring on two Hall of Famers back-to-back weeks. Michael Irvin last week, Mitch Richmond this week, and guess what? They're all from the Fort Lauderdale area, so we're going to get into this show. Guys, if you want to listen to the show, you want to call in, you want to talk to some of our guests here on the Tony Sands Show, you can call in and speak with us at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you want to talk to my main man, Mo Love, Mitch Richmond, chime in on the show. But in order to hear those interviews, because at a certain point, once we get ready to bring Mitch on, I'm going to cut away from Facebook, and I need you guys to go there. That's BBS Radio. .com/the Tony Sands Show, or you can go to iHeartRadio in order to listen. I'm gonna type it up the way you guys would have to go to listen. But Mo, let's get in. Let's talk about us. You know, I'm trying to get my Facebook people ready. But let's get into this thing.
Right,
we got a big show tonight. We got a big show. We got a big thing. But let's dig into the NBA when it comes to topics throughout the NBA. Kyrie Irving, there's been rumors that he can possibly be heading with another marriage with LeBron. How do you see that playing out?
I don't know. I don't think it will. Kyrie is going. First of all, he's going to leave Boston. We know that already because he just how he played the last game, and it just if he go to the Lakers. I mean, right now the Lakers kind of shaking a little going on right now, especially with Magic going on. LeBron got to think about what he got coming in, and they got to build a whole lot. Then Kyrie can make that program, make that Lakers better, he can. But you think he'd be a great fit for that program? I don't know. What you think? I think Kyrie's going to do a great job there. and him and bringing back the marriage of him and LeBron, but it's going to be tough.
I don't think Kyrie wants to play Robin to Batman again. And I think that's where this thing with him understanding his value. I don't see him wanting to play Robin to Batman again. And that's what that's going to be, regardless of how that go. Regardless of when you match those two guys up, LeBron is always going to be looked at as Batman, and Kyrie is not going to want to play Robin to Batman again, not with the success that he has and knowing his value. He would rather go to the Knicks. He bring possibly KD with
KD?
Him.
KD? Yeah, KD.
They take the East. Now, does the East at that point comes like the West Coast? Does the East Coast say, hey, listen, we put us two together, we got something. We got an equal, we have a matchup here that is going to be unstoppable.
Right.
Or do we go in and we say, hey, listen, we can't continue to play this thing the way it's being played. We got to go ahead and I'm going to go over here and play back though to LeBron. KD stayed with Golden State. And I don't see, we're finding out now with the way that Golden State is playing.
Right.
Wait a minute. Now, is having KD a luxury? Or is having KD is just, hey, we just got KD. Are they playing better ball now without KD? Or do they play better ball with KD? A lot of people say they play Marius with KD because they have won championships with KD, but they also have won championships without KD.
And you know who's stepping up? And that people don't realize he's a basketball, professional basketball player, Draymond Green. The guy can play.
And he's maturing.
I mean, he was 6 for 12 in the free for the field, 8 for 9 in the free throw line, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. 20 point. Come on. I mean, he's in balling. You know, he told one of the kids on one of the players, he said, hey, listen, you miss a free throw. You miss a shot. Don't worry about it. Listen, everybody miss shots out there. Just come on and play. He's motivating the team. He's the leader of that motivation team. He's the motivator. KD is, he's out. I don't think he'll come back to the season. I don't think he'll come back to next year. You know, he's not going to be a Golden State Warrior. He's not going to be a Warrior. I don't think so.
So you don't think he comes back to Golden State at all? There's no possibility of him coming back to Golden State.
He want to go back home, close to the East, for the East. Even Baltimore area. He going to go to New York. Him and Kyrie, that's the best fit for him. So I think that's the best thing for him.
So now, with him, okay, possibly him and Kyrie join up, Batman, Robin. Who plays Batman? Who's play Robin?
Well, I don't think they'll play Batman or Rob. I think they'll play this. They just want to win, I think, because KD's going to get his number and Kyrie going to get his number. Both of them.
I understand that. But now, when I said Batman and Robin, you got to understand there's always going to be, when you have two superstars, someone is going to always be elevated, whether the media do it or their mind make them do it. Someone is going to be elevated over the other, and that's when the discrepancies come in. That's when the discrepancies come in. That's where the tangling of who has power comes in and who doesn't have power come in.
Well, I think Kyrie learned when he played in Boston, because you know you apologize to LeBron. They talk, say, didn't know. You know, I didn't know where it was going. I now understand now what's going on. I now understand how you were feeling. I understand the motivation you're trying to push me. So I think Kyrie's more mature now. I think he want to win with more experienced players and who's hungry enough. Because, you know, Boston, from last year to this year, they weren't even hungry in the playoff at all.
Right.
You know, but Kyrie was out, right? He was out. Yep. So we don't know. So Kyrie saying, you know what? Hey, I go play with KD. I bring somebody over. And play with the kids, the younger kids over there, and build that program up, build it up to be the best in the East. I think they'll do well in New York. I think they will do awesome in New York together.
They're going to do well. They're going to do well, and it's going to be – I think if they go to New York, it brings the excitement to the East, taking on the West. The East taking on the West. So it's going to be an exciting run. Mo, we're going to run to a quick commercial break. Stay on, man. We're going to be coming back on – Stay tuned, guys, for Mitch Richmond. We're going to call Mitch and get him on the line. But, guys, you got to go to bbsradio.com/The Tony Sands Show, or you can go to iHeartRadio to listen in. So we got to get off you Facebook people. We got to get off. We got to go to commercial break. Let's take it to commercial break. You're back here on The Tony Sands Show. For those that are joining The Tony Sands Show, my main man, Mo Love, out of Atlanta, is joining the show. Listen, when I told you 2 weeks back-to-back that you getting a Hall of Famer to The Tony Sands Show, I'm bringing it to you. 2 weeks in a row. Last week was Michael Irvin joining The Tony Sands Show, Hall of Famer. Now it is Mitch Richmond. Doug, go ahead and play. Let's listen, without further ado, let's go ahead and play the soundbite that we have to introduce Mr. Hall of Famer himself, Mitch Richmond. Go ahead and play that soundbite for me.
Welcoming Mitch to the Hall of Fame are Chris Mullin and Ralph Sampson. Ladies and gentlemen, Mitch Richmond. Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to thank the man upstairs for all of his blessings. Ralph Sampson, I was lucky to have you as a rookie, but most importantly, I was lucky to have you as a friend. You know, you mean so much,
to me my first year.
And I want to thank you, man, for being up here and celebrating this with me.
Welcome. As you guys got a chance to hear that introduction to Mr. Hall of Famer, welcome to the Tony Sands Show, Mr. Mitch Richmond. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, man? How's everything?
Man, everything is going well, man. Last week, you know, we had Michael on, and this week we got you on. Man, this two Hall of Famers back-to-back, the Tony Sands Show is going crazy when it comes to Hall of Famers, man. Mitch, when you hear that introduction, what does it bring back to you?
Well, it brings back some great memories of that night. It's also bringing back some great memories over the years that I played in the NBA and the times that I had with some of my teammates and some of the enjoyment, some of the trenches that we were in, and all of those things, just a lot of things come back.
Mitch, a lot of people don't know, you know, my career, I went out to Kansas, but a lot of people don't know why I truly was set and decided that Kansas would be a nice place to go. It was because of you that really guided me to go to Kansas State, because I said, okay, hey, wait a minute. Oh, Mitch is out there playing at Kansas State. So it can't be that bad of a place. You know, because, you know, the only thing I heard about Mitch was it was Kansas. I'm thinking they saying Kansas was flat. The only thing I heard was it was Toto and Dorothy, the Wizard of Oz. That's the only thing that went on. Did you get a chance? Did people say that when you went out there? Did they say a lot of that stuff?
Of course, of course. You know, I went to a junior college, probably 2 hours away from there, Mobile, Missouri, down the street from University of Missouri. So, for 2 years, I kind of knew that area a little bit, and everybody was always making those jokes of Kansas and Toto and Wizard of Oz and all that stuff.
And man, I said to myself, if Mitch is going up there. Another guy, Fort Lauderdale, man, it can't be that bad. And I got up there, and it wasn't that bad. It was a nice place, as a matter of fact, to be in. It wasn't as flat as I thought it would be from what you're hearing. Man, but, you know, it was a beautiful place. I enjoyed my years in Kansas, and I seen the success that you had at Kansas State. And the year that you came out, man, South Florida was on the map when it came to putting people like yourself, Michael Irvin, Brian Blades, Lorenzo White. I mean, to know that you guys came out of the same community. And people don't understand you can pretty much take a bike and pretty much tackle into everyone that got drafted that year. It's amazing for one community to have that many Hall of Famers. And I know you and Mike talk a lot. I got a chance to see the show when Mike was filling in on Rich's show, and you guys, like, man, you was having a ball on that show.
Yeah, Yeah, when we get together, man, we always it's all about the memories now. It's all about the times and yeah, when you mentioned Benny Blaze, Brian Blaze, and growing up competing against those guys, yeah, man, it's just amazing that all the talent that had came out of that way. And we had more guys. Just a lot of guys didn't make it, yes. but I thought would. But we yes. had a lot of talent. We had a lot of talent in that area. And everybody was always mm-hmm. thinking it was just the football. But it was also basketball, too. But mostly football. So football.
Yeah. Mitch, as you know, you played with the Lakers and you've played with Golden State. So you've mm-hmm. had a chance to, you know, see a lot of the stuff that's going on today with the Lakers and the way that all of a sudden, you know, Magic came on television today stating why mm-hmm. he pretty much left the Lakers. With him leaving mm-hmm. the Lakers and him getting the power that he thought he had, with the power that he thought he had with the Lakers, and come to find out that he didn't have the power. Before we get into that, Mitchell, we're going to let our listeners listen to the first part of that interview that he had with Stephen A. Smith. Doug, okay. play that for 40 seconds for me.
What the hell happened? Why did you resign from the Los Angeles Lakers?
Well, it was a couple reasons. You know, first of all, let me thank Jeannie Buss for the opportunity first. When we sat down and negotiated, I told her, I said, listen, I can't give up all my businesses. I make more money doing that than becoming the president of the Lakers. So you know that I'm going to be in and out. Is that okay with you? She said, yes. I said, do I have the power to make decisions?
Because that was important.
For me to take the job as well. She said, you have the power to make the decisions.
Mitch, when you hear that, Jeannie Buss telling Magic that he had the power to make those decisions. So when he sits down, do you think he tells himself, okay, hey, listen, I got the power. I've been told that I can't. I don't have to worry about doing this as a full time because I got many other things. What do you think Magic's idea of changing the Lakers once he heard from Jeannie Buss that he has full power? How do you think he go into that full go?
Well, I think he went into it the right way. I mean, obviously he put that on the table, and I don't think Magic deserved to be in the office 24/7. I mean, a lot of his stuff that it requires to be a phone call away, and I think the one thing about it is that. In that situation, you have to put together a team.
Correct.
And if you don't put together the right team, like that team was, if someone someone puts a team together when you don't have no history with them, then you have leaks. And that's what happened. It's always, and the problem is always somebody thinks that they're doing more than the person above them is doing.
Correct.
And that's what the problem lies, is that you work under Magic. So your day-to-day is different from what day-to-day, what Magic was supposed to do. Now, if I got somebody on my team is leaking something that, hey, I'm not here and I'm doing all the work and I'm doing all this, this is why you probably had Tyronn Lue saying, hey, wait a minute, you can't pick my assistant because that's not my team. You know what I mean? You have to have your team together because everyone has a job to do. Now, you have somebody's leaking something, saying, hey, he's not here and going through the press. He's not there. Like, your job is to do what your team and your obligation is to do for the guy who's working above you. And now, if you don't have that proper team, this is what happens. And I'm telling you, it happens 100 times. And I'm glad that really Magic said something. Hey, man, I had a leak. I had a guy that's under me saying that, hey, I wasn't doing this and I wasn't doing that. A lot of people don't be in the office all day. Jerry West is never in the, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not in the office all the time.
All day, correct.
I mean, you know what I mean? So it's a lot, but Magic has warned, I mean, Magic has done so many other things that he has them, you know, got different businesses that he's doing. And with the Lakers, talking about trading guys, when you talk about this, it probably don't warrant him being in the office every day. Warned him having his team to do the legwork, and he closes. That's what it is. He was Magic Johnson.
Mitch, do you feel Magic came out when he came out because of mm-hmm. now, you know, LeBron felt a certain way when Magic
right
left the Lakers and did mm-hmm. not even reach out to him when Magic was the one that brought him to the Lakers. Do you felt right. Magic at that time felt that he had to come out and say something because here LeBron saying, okay, you bring me here, and then all of a right. sudden you abruptly leave? Do you felt that had anything to do with it?
Well, I think Magic felt bad about that, but at the end of the day, when you find something out that somebody that you're working with is going up to the head and saying, you know, things about you at that particular time, you're in survival mode.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
You're not really worried about what somebody else is doing. Right now, you're trying to make sure that, hey, listen, man, you're saying this thing about me, but I'm walking. I'm leaving. I don't need that negativity. I don't need this and that. So I think it was a thing that at that particular time he wasn't thinking about LeBron. He wasn't thinking about anything. He was thinking about himself because the emotions had got into it. That someone, all of this that's been talking around him, and it's probably been talking, you know, it's been talking amongst all the other teams. How is this information getting out, and who is saying this? And then if it's one of yours. Then at that particular time, he's not worried about talking to LeBron at that particular time. He's worried about his emotion. He's emotional about it. He's like, man, yeah, I can walk it.
Correct.
Because, I, you know what I mean? And that's probably what happened.
And, you know, he made, like I said, he yeah. made some decisions. Doug, play the soundbite from 42, a minute and 36 seconds of that same soundbite where it came to where he thought he had the power and come to find out it started slowly doing it from him. Play that for me, please.
Okay, let's go do it. She said, I'm going to put you with Rob Pelinka because I didn't know Rob. So she put us both together. First year in, it was tremendous. I wanted the strategy to be, let's get up under the salary cap because we were way over the salary cap. And I said, let's trade some people, get some draft picks, so on and on. D'Angelo, you know, great guard, but had a problem when Shaggy P and yes. the whole thing went down. So I knew I had to get him out. We made some moves. That draft pick turned into Kyle Kuzma. So we felt good about making that deal. Drafted Lonzo Ball, number two. I know you're still against it, but
yes.
we can debate that.
Because I think he's outstanding
all around
point guard.
And you heard, as you heard, he called pretty much yeah. called out Rob Pelinka yeah. in that as the person that was doing the leaks with him. So
right.
do you feel with Jerry with Buss telling him that you got all the power, and all of a sudden you hear those leaks starting to leak out, and now you're mm-hmm. Magic Johnson. When you look at the Lakers, you think about Magic Johnson. Do you feel mm-hmm. he felt betrayed by the Laker organization, being that he was Magic? You was told me that I told you up front that this is what I need to do. Do you felt that he felt some type of betrayal in this situation?
Yeah, if it was talked about before he took the job, and everybody yes. at that particular time knew he was in baseball, he was trying to bring a football team to the Lakers. He's involved with, I think, the soccer, if I'm mistaken.
Soccer.
He had other businesses that he was doing. Obviously, you know, he was running himself then, but he knows basketball like the back of his hand.
Correct.
So this was something that he could do still because that was still his love. And no question about it, if you feel like it's a leak in your armor, you know what I mean? That hurts more than anything. Hurts more than anything. Like you said, he's done something. They created Kyle Kuzma there with that trade, and they also
yes.
got LeBron James. LeBron James didn't come to the Lakers only because of Magic was there, I think.
Correct.
Or he had some other things that he was going to be doing, like the movies and all that stuff. But he probably didn't even think about that until Magic probably got in his ear or whatever it was. He was a part of that. Let's not say he was 100%, but he was probably a part of that. So they came there for Magic, and I think other players are going to come there for Magic. Now you run the risk of everybody thinking that, you know, the organization is not run the right way. So, you know, how are you going to come out of this now? Who's going to – what free agents? So now it's all about you got to get these free agents this summer and figure it out.
And Magic also, you know, in an interview alluded to Marcy. Go ahead, Marcy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Mitch. How you doing, Marcy? Yeah. How you doing, Mitch? Yeah.
Good.
So what do you think about Kyrie going to the Lakers? What's your opinion about Kyrie going to the Lakers? What do you think about that?
Well, I got to say, I have no idea what Kyrie's going. You know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, you talk about Boston, you're talking about New York, you're talking about might have a chance in the Lakers, and that might be so. But how their relationship ended, you don't know how much of that is real. So, but I think Kyrie understand that, you know, I think he understood that LeBron took a lot of that heat. Like LeBron took all the media. LeBron handled anything that was coming down the pike. Kyrie just played. You know what I mean?
Yes,
LeBron
right,
handled all that stuff. And then now, you know, Kyrie's answering. I mean, he's answering those questions that he really don't want to answer. And, you know, contradicting himself, saying, I want to be in Boston. Well, maybe I don't want to be in Boston. Well, but, you know what I mean? And, you know, he has to take his hats off to LeBron of how he handled things in those hard times. So I think he probably misses that. Well, he can still be the guy, but also still play with a great guy like LeBron, a great player.
Right.
Now, Mitch, do you see his maturity at a level now as an NBA player that he understands that he can play now with the LeBron and not worry about, you know, how people were throwing out the Batman and Robin scenario? Do you see him, if that was to ever happen, rather it be with LeBron or possibly down the line with KD in New York?
Well,
do you see him understanding that?
Yeah. Well, I think he has to, and I think even as an athlete, the quicker you learn that, the better you're going to be off. Because at the end of the day, once you get a little older, and LeBron has found it out, you need help. KD found it out. Like, I need more help. I need to go to a place where I can play my type of style, but I need it to be easier. I found that out when I got traded from Golden State. When I played with Tim, when I played with Chris, and when I played with Sharunas Marcellonas and Terry Teague and all those guys on that team, it made my job easier because I know those other guys are going to do their job. Now,
correct.
If you're going to double Tim or you're going to double Chris, then you're going to leave me open. You know what
correct.
I mean? So they had to pick their poison each night of how they were going to do it. When I went to Sacramento, I found out that it's tough. I mean, like you need guys with you because I was getting double and triple team. And not saying that I didn't have bad play, but I had young guys that were trying to find their way. And I had one guy, Wayne Matthews and Todd Webb, who knew the ropes, but we needed more help because at that time, the league was tough. They had 8-9 deep. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Sports. I mean, Chicago.
Right, yeah.
I mean, like, I mean, we were going up against monsters every night. So back then, you wasn't winning games with young teams. You know, the teams were winning was the veteran teams that had been there and had jailed and had, and you know, was proven. Young guys had to, you know, you had to wait your turn. You know what I mean?
Correct.
You had to wait your turn. Like,
right.
It was
right.
Monsters at every position in every team. So when I went to Sacramento, I found out how hard it was. I was getting double and triple team every night. I had to go home sore with 4 or 5 ice bags on my, you know what I mean? Like, every night. I knew how I was. I was still doing. But KD understands when he went to the Warriors, he's like, man, I could play like this for 10 more years. You know what I mean?
Yes, correct.
With these two guys who I'm playing against. And so then you think when he got the ring, now he's like, hey, man, I done got 3 rings. Maybe it's time for me. Now probably, I don't know what he's going to say to you. But when you win a ring, then you're a little different player than the other guys who was trying to capture a ring. When you win a ring, you're like, you know what? Maybe I can win it somewhere else now and put together another team. But when you're trying to fight for it, you're trying to team up with some guys that you need help to get there. You know what I mean? So, now that's my skill.
And Mitch, now you talk about needing guys.
Right.
Now, back in, you know, when all this joining team started forming with LeBron and them, with Paul Pierce and them, a lot of the old NBA players had started saying, hey, this ain't how you win a championship with you. You don't win a championship trying to join up with other guys.
Yeah.
How did you, what side of the spectrum did you find yourself on saying, hey, it's not bad to bring in all these guys together to win the championship, or, you know, hey, this is me. This is my team, and I'm going to bring a championship regardless. I don't want to go join up with other powerhouses to produce a championship team.
Right. Well, there's two sides of that because, yes, to tell you the truth, I was trying to get out of Sacramento every chance I get to join up with somebody. But you didn't have those same rules as you had it now. You know what I mean? The money wasn't as big as it was. So I'm kind of torn because guys didn't team up because at that time all these guys was in their prime and every guy felt like, hey man, if I get just two players, we had to go through the draft and one free agent. You know what I mean? Maybe. You know what I mean? So you were like, hey, if I get just one guy, maybe we can win it. Every guy, I'm telling you, even in Sacramento, that I didn't think we was a good team. I just thought that if we had to win it this year, man, everything just got to line up. Everybody got to get hurt, and we win it all. You know what I mean? Or something. You know, you go in the season like, man, if everything just line up, we might have a chance. You know what I mean? And so looking back of how the other guys teaming up with people now, I don't have a problem with it because my problem is that when they do trade you to a team that you don't want to be at, then they don't have any loyalty then. But when you want to go where you want to go, then the loyalty set in. Well, they don't have no loyalty. You know what I mean? They're not loyal to the team. They still want to stay here. No, you trade me anytime you want.
Anytime you want, yes.
Anytime you want, you can trade me. And your loyalty is not spoken. But my loyalty is when it's time for me to get paid and want to go. See, back then, you couldn't do both. Only certain people can do both. Like, you either had got paid, or you go to a team and get left. Or you get paid and go to a team that you really didn't like, but you went for the money. Now, you can go and get paid and go to a team of your liking. So it's only a certain amount of guys could have done it in their career. Now, all of these guys are doing it. They're talking amongst each other and say, hey, man, let's go here. You can pay three or four guys now. You know what I'm saying? So I have a little different thing about it.
Do you feel that's giving more power now to, in the NBA, understand that now guys are communicating more.
Right,
do you feel that has put more power in the hands of the players or the organization?
I think the power is equal now.
Okay.
I think the power is equal now because now you can trade a guy, and now a player can say, "Hey, man, I'm not signing back with you next year." So, you know what I mean? I want to go to one of these teams, this team, that team, or that team, or I'm leaving and going to another team. So, I think the power has balanced itself out. It's not one team now saying that, "Hey, I got your right. You can't go nowhere. We're not." And nowadays, these guys are saying, "I'm just gonna play hurt. I'm not playing. I want to get out of here."
So,
you know what I mean?
So I got a question.
I don't know.
I got a question. So you think LeBron changed the game on that? You think LeBron changed the whole of that, the attitude with the players?
Yeah, well, I think LeBron, I think the rules limited. I think the rules kind of had an opportunity for change. You know, the money was bigger.
Okay.
LeBron used his platform in the right way I want to say something about like a lot of people don't know what those guys have done, but LeBron, D-Wade, and Chris Paul done a wonderful thing for retired players. And those three guys was the one, and it was other guys too, but those three guys was the main focus of pushing the NBA giving guys insurance after they're retired. So now, for 2 years, I think it's going on 2 years now, every single guy that played in the league have health insurance free for the rest of their life. And it was because of LeBron James and Chris Paul and D-Wade pushing that thing. So those guys have done some wonderful things for the players that have played before them. So that's why, I can't knock LeBron on some of the things that he do off the court because he does so many wonderful things, and those three guys have done great things for the guys that have retired. That's huge because some of these guys are struggling, man. They can't get health care, and
And that's wow. awesome to be able to do that. And so no one has never stepped up like that with their power,
true.
Like LeBron, Chris Paul, and D-Wade have done. So I want to commend them guys for that.
And we talk about the power that the NBA, and you know, you hear it a lot that the NBA players have more power than the NFL players. And you said that these guys, because you know, a lot of people didn't hear and would not have known that these guys, how instrumental they was in getting the older guys health care. Because you don't hear a lot of the NBA gossip being thrown about.
Right.
Like the NFL, the fight that the NFL players have versus the fight that the NBA players have, it's like it's two different fights in two different worlds.
Right.
You know, and you say that these guys, and so you, when did all that start about to where they started pushing this movement for retired players?
I don't know when it started, but I know I once they got a. Was with the NBA, the commissioner, and they were always talking about these issues in the summertime, going to all the meetings, learning about what's going on with the retired players and what's going on with the current players. You know, a lot of, you know, I was on that team way back then. You had so many guys that were distant. They didn't worry about anything that was going on. They just wanted their check. So it was very hard to get a group of guys together to think like that. And with those guys getting together and the power that they had, I mean, they helped push this this agreement that is wonderful for the players. But I think what the NBA has done, now they still need to work on some things, but I think they are working on things to try to improve each and every day. But they're more, they have a little bit more concern about their players and their product than the NFL to me.
So, and I
you know what I mean? So I think that they know what their product is. They know that, you know, it's young black kids, you know, that they have to play the hip hop music. They have to play the R&B music because that's what their product is pushing. That's what their product is about. That's where their product came from. And I think sometimes I think sometimes NFL forgets about that. So I think that the NBA is closer to knowing what that is than the NFL.
And as you said, the shifts of power have balanced out in the NBA to a standpoint, listen, we know our power. We know what we have. We know our product. We know you want to push the product. So the NFL, the NBA owners understand that. Not only that, but I think they're probably within the NBA, there are more minorities in higher positions.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think if when we talk about that, I think every organization needs to get better at that. I think the NBA needs to get better at that. I think the NFL needs to get better at that. And when you have a majority of African Americans in you know, playing in your sport and that's your product, I think you should have at least some African Americans in some of those higher positions. In the NBA. So I think the NBA knows that, and they're, you know, I still think we're far away from that, but I think everybody can do better in that point. Everyone can do better.
And so you talk about it from an NBA standpoint. When we hear about it from the NFL standpoint, it's like everybody look at the NBA as got it right, and the NFL don't have it right. And I think that's just because you know you're able to look out and see more minorities within an organization. I think that's why they say they got it right. But I'm quite sure, like you said, there's a lot of things that they can get even better as a league.
Yes, no question. But the NBA, the NBA is, I think, for me, the reason why they get it right. They get right on top of it when it happens. They address it right away. I think the NFL kind of let it prolong and continue to don't find the answer to it. I think because if you don't say it early, LeBron going to say something about it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Right. You know, you the top guys going to say something about it. So you got to get on it right away. I don't see any of the NFL guys like Tom Brady, quarterback Green Bay, they're not addressing those issues that it ain't pertain to them. So I think I think when LeBron is going to say something, you know what I'm saying? So you got to get on top of it and let him know that we are with you, LeBron. We are with our guys on that issue. We're with you.
Right.
A lot of, and as you talked about, a lot of the social issues that came up, we've seen, to me, I say the NBA players helped and stood behind the NFL players when the NFL players could not stand behind themselves. They needed help from the NBA. And LeBron, I think, knew that and showed no social issues. He knew it.
I mean, look, LeBron, in the way when they say shut up and dribble, LeBron talked about everything. That he feels like he can help. You know what I mean? He talks about how you how the football owners are handling a certain situation by Kaepernick. He'll tell you he'll tell you about the politics. I mean, it wasn't like that back then. But now, you know, they are using their platform because they know a lot of young kids and it's a lot of older kids. Everyone wants to know what they're talking about. Like, do you get so far gone that you're making so much money that you don't feel like you're a part of the culture anymore, a part of the neighborhood? And LeBron and I think a lot of the NBA guys and the NBA understands that we're still from the neighborhood. You know what I mean? We still because it's not, people don't understand. It's like, yeah, I made it, but it's only one of me. It ain't that many of me. I got you. Go to the hood, and it's 300 of LeBrons is trying to get out of the hood.
It's trying to
get out. He has to continue to help. So I think for him, I think it's great for him to handle those issues and handle them straightforward and be honest about it and have concerns. Hey, if he says something wrong, he approaches it and say, "Hey, maybe I." You know what I mean? He's hitting it right in the middle of everything because he came for those neighborhoods. We all came for those neighborhoods. It was a time when we couldn't talk. We couldn't say what it is. We had to be quiet.
Right.
And that's why I like that LeBron talk. And I also like that Magic said, hey, man, I had somebody that was talking back. Say it. I mean, because we have to always say, hey, man, just take the high road.
Take the high road.
No, man, tell him. I had a crack in the armor. I had somebody leaking some bull. You know what I mean? That's what it is. Right. Say it. I have no problem with it.
And when I look at I look at the NBA and I look at the NBA players and I just look back, you know, I was just at an event with Trayvon's mom and I had a chance to sit and talk with her, and that was one of the questions I asked. And she said that was a beautiful thing that when she saw LeBron come out on the court with their, you know, backing the social issue. She said it made her feel good that there were people in those positions that were understanding what happens in the inner city community every day. So they are not just saying, okay, I'm a basketball player, I'm forgetting about where I come from.
Right.
Listen, because guess what? LeBron stated, I have boys.
Right. I love it, man. I love it because it just shows you that, listen, I still have an ear. I still listen. I still understand what's going on. We still need help in so many different areas, you know, the police brutality. There's so many things that we have to talk about, but nobody talks about that. You know what I mean? Nobody. So LeBron don't talk about it, then who's gonna talk about it?
Exactly.
Like, there's no one else to use his platform more to bring those type of issues to the forefront, and they still need to be talked about. It still needs to be
talked about. Right.
You know what I mean? And we're falling back every day when another kid is killed. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Every day we're falling back and we're getting into this norm where, oh, it's fine. But no one is talking about it. We can't even get our president to talk about it. Like, you know what I mean? So LeBron has to say something.
Yeah, and he, you know, because you can, and he, with social media and with the, you know, with the social media platform, that's, I think, another thing that have helped players speak more.
Right.
Because back in our day, if the media didn't want to speak with you, there was no way to get your word out on any issue. Now they use that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do think social media got some bad, too. We got so many people talking. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got social media talking
that we don't want to hear from. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Please be quiet. Because you are not helping. You are not helping.
Right. You're killing us.
Yeah,
killing
like,
us.
But when you got someone that can really kind of say it in the way he says it, and for people to understand what he's saying, we really and truly need those guys to use their platform to get the word out. And you know, LeBron has mastered that. You know, he's mastered of really giving back, helping people. I mean, that's what we need, and trying to bring people up to his level.
Well, Mitch, we got the game tonight. Let's get into we got the game tonight between Golden State and the Trailblazers. How do you see that playing out tonight? Do they close it out, or you know, do the Trailblazers get one now?
Well, I thought the game, and I it's just like Toronto. I thought the game that Portland needed to get was that game three. Mm-hmm. And you can tell Golden State, Green played his butt off. I mean,
they played tremendous to
win that game. I thought they exerted a lot of effort. I mean, Portland lost the game. They had that game.
Right.
So I think Golden State finishes them out. And even if they don't, it's only one game that Portland's going to win. But I really do think that they're going to bring the mentality on that. They have to. It's a good time for them to get healthy, get KD healthy, get the big fella healthy, get Green healthier. All those guys that they got some mix and manage. They need to finish this game, rest up, treat their body right, get treatment, and be ready for the finals because they're gonna need it if it's those Milwaukee Bucks. They're gonna need it.
Mitch, man, thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show, man. Your insight on the Lakers, your insight on just the NBA, and your insight on everything that you do and the things that you have accomplished. Man, we'd like to thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show.
Yes,
it's been a pleasure. My listeners are loving it. I'm getting the feedback on my show. They're loving it, man. Thank you for joining, taking time out your day, brother.
All right.
Yeah, tell anybody, man. I'm trying to get my followers up, too. Mitch Richmond 23, all right?
I got you. I'm on it.
Okay.
All right,
man. Y'all be good, man.
You too, Mitch.
All right.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. For those that are joining us, you got a chance to hear from NBA Hall of Famer Mitch Richmond, who, when I say was awesome when it came to giving knowledge about the NBA, just on the players, on LeBron, everything. Hey, it's so crazy. We're not even off the air, and Mitch is hitting me with it, man. I need a copy of that. So you know it is exciting when it comes to his knowledge. Because he played for, everybody got to understand, Maurice, he played for both the Lakers and he played for Golden State. So he was able to bring in the knowledge for both of those teams.
Yeah, great knowledge. Yeah, great information.
So that was important. I wanted to get an NBA. We're going into the finals. Magic just started out. I wanted to make sure that we kept Magic with his opening thing today on Stephen A. Smith, or Stephen A. Smith has stated he was going to get the down low of what was going on with the Lakers. What was actually going on within the Lakers organization. And it was a lot of things being shaken up. NFL, well, let's shift gears a little bit to the NFL. Here we go. Now, everybody, you know what, Mark? I look at, and when we talked about some of the troubles that follow some of the athletes, and people don't realize, Kellen Winslow Jr.,
everybody
really, you know, tight end, played at University of Miami, great NFL player, you know, he was, got arrested on rape charge, and then prosecutor of the rape trial of Kellen Winslow Jr., 2004 first round NFL draft pick and the son of Hall of Famer, said on Monday that he was with fame and riches, who took what he wanted. He said this guy, that Kellen Winslow, took what he wanted because of his fame and his riches, and where he allegedly had raped, as they call it, three women. And I guess his trial is coming up, and they, you know, he's getting ready to embark on that part of his life, man. That's woo-wee. That brings you wonder about that kind of stuff when you see it, because you hear about it, you know, so often with these guys. Ben Roethlisberger comes back 2 minutes right. to apologize. To yeah. apologize to AB. I had a chance to, you know, I was with shooting some footballs out to AB this weekend. Friday, as a matter of fact, he came in to Fort Lauderdale at Carter Park, and we were shooting some footballs to him, and we was talking with him as he talked with the kids. The kids look at him as the Pied Piper. They called him. I didn't know they called him the Chicken Man. Kids were saying, "I go to Chicken Man." So I'm like, "What is the Chicken Man?" And I guess it's right. because of his hairstyle. So I was amazed that they would call him the Chicken Man. But Mo, man, listen, we're going to close the show out, man. But hey, thank you for joining us. You're going to keep back on next week. We're going to try to get Mitch back on talking NBA, because at that point, we should be getting ready to round up who's in the finals and who's not in his partake on the finals. So we're going to get into a lot of that next Monday. Join us each and every Monday, myself, Mo Love here on the Tony Sands Show.
Hey, that's now.
You hear me, Mo? We got to make sure that we understanding that this is the Tony Sands Show. We bring on Hall of Famers. We are that show. When you talk, you want Hall of Fame knowledge, you listen to the Tony Sands Show. That's bbsradio.com/the Tony Sands Show or iHeartRadio. We are that show. Mo, we're closing out. Until next Monday, we'll see you again. We'll bring you more Hall of Fame knowledge. Stay tuned. Next week.
All righty.
More knowledge next week. In the sports world.
All right.